The word of God given to us today are Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It is page 73 in the New Testament. I will now read Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Last week, the amended articles of our church was approved at the Common Assembly of the Church's members. Four goals of our church is set out in Chapter 1, Article 2 of the amended articles of the church. And the amended articles are not that different from prior articles, but it places words that are more concrete and appropriate have replaced older terms so that certain concepts can be more easily understood. For example, faith as a daily way of life has been replaced with the words worship as a way of daily life. The word vision has been replaced with the phrase the duty to make right path. And the place of mission has been replaced with the duty to make right path. As a place of service and evangelism. The fourth goal of our church, as stated in the amended articles, is as follows. Our church has received all authority from the Foundation for the 100th Anniversary of Korean Church to independently manage and care for Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial, and they are the places of service and evangelism for our church. This does not mean, however, that our places of service and evangelism are to be limited to those places, although we are responsible for caring for and managing these two sacred places. The four goals of our church are not completely separate goals. They are organically connected, and a common thread runs through them. If our church is trying to become one church, a holy church, a universal church, and an apostolic church based on the foundation of the scripture, and if people who have received salvation in Jesus Christ are to achieve worship as a way of daily life and daily life as worship, so they can do all as Christians for our fellow compatriots and greater humanity, and if our church is to live up to its calling to continue the faith and the spirit of 100 years of Korean Christianity and live up to its duty to lay the right path towards the bicentennial of Korean Christianity, it is necessary that we must turn all areas of our lives as places of service and evangelism. To serve those we meet in all areas of our lives is the calling of our church, as well as a calling given to each Christian. To serve people who we meet in all areas of our life is evangelism. In other words, telling them about the way of the Lord. Doing this is not limited to spreading the gospel like Paul, who went on mission journeys all over the world, or to preach on the Bible at worship places like pastors do. Anyone can tell others about the way of the Lord through service. If this is true, then how can we serve people well? If we take a look at verse 35 of chapter 10 of Mark, where today's text is included, we read that among 12 disciples, James and John, both the son of Zebedee, made this request to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Jesus asked them what it is that they wanted. The two disciples answered, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." In other words, what the disciples were saying was that when Jesus became king, they wanted the next two high positions to be theirs. Naturally, Jesus' answer to that was no. He, in effect, said, "That kind of position don't even exist, so don't even think about it." Jesus did not come as the king of the Jews. At the time, Herod the Great's family divided up and ruled over Galilee, Judah, and nearby areas. Jesus was not going to rule over them and become the king over them all. Jesus did not come as the king of this world. Why would a person who is the king of kings and the king of the entire universe come as a king of an area that is only 1/100,000th of the area of the earth? It wouldn't have been nearly enough for Jesus to come as a king of a large and powerful nation. And yet, he was not born in some golden crib at a royal palace. He was born in a manger, an unhygienic place which is highly unsuitable for a baby. Why did this happen? It happened so that Jesus could serve us from the lowest of the low places and die to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life. If we forget this eternal, unchanging truth, we come to seek vain things like James and John. Wealth and fame become the purpose of our lives. The other 10 disciples were no different from James and John. If we look at chapter 10, verse 41 of the Gospel of Mark, it is recorded, "When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John." So, the purpose of all of the 12 disciples in following Jesus was to get a high position. Looking up on these 12 who thought this way, Jesus said, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Now, one can take this to mean that before one climbs up a ladder, one must stay at a lower place a while. Or that if you become someone who serves others like a servant, you may not go far in this life, but you will be richly rewarded by God with the kingdom of God, which will be completed in future. The kingdom of God, which will be completed in future, comes. But what stands out clearly from what Jesus said more than anything is that you should not aim for a high position. Jesus is someone who is supposed to be at the most exalted position, but he came as a man to the sinful world. If these 12 disciples really, correctly knew who Jesus was, they would not have followed Jesus for the purpose of getting a high position, wealth, or glory. Jesus told the 12 what he had come to the world for, and this is today's text. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." What is the purpose of our life? Like the 12 disciples, do we aim for various kinds of high position, wealth, and glory that our age offers? If Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the King of the universe, came to the world with the purpose of serving people, then shouldn't the purpose of life for Christians who follow Jesus also should be serving others? What are the goals of our church? Among the four, there is serving. It is through serving the church can maintain itself as a true church. It is through serving that worship as a daily way of life and daily life as a way of worship can be wholly achieved. It is through serving that we can fulfill our calling and responsibilities as Christians and meet the duty of laying the right path for the Korean church. We must become people of the Lord who tell others of the way of the Lord through our service. In order to serve others well, one must become lowly, like the Lord. In the same way that the Lord served people from a lowly position, we too must serve people from a lowly position. It is difficult to serve people from a high position. It is when you think that the high position is not high that you can serve people well. If one were to serve people well while being in a high position, it would be all the more valuable. Our church practices nominee elder deaconess system. This is intended to prevent the position of an elder or deaconess from turning into a kind of a hierarchy. But if a person were to forget that, he or she is called an elder or a deacon simply as a kind of a nominee title in name only, and think that it confers on them a kind of high position within the church, then that person would have a hard time serving people. A person who wants to get the title of an elder or a deaconess because he or she equates such position as being a kind of a high position, judging from a secular standards, then that person would not regard others as people to be served, but as his or her competitors. The 10 disciples who heard James and John requesting high position from Jesus became angry. The Greek word that translates into become angry in chapter 10, verse 41, contains the meaning of becoming extremely bothered and becoming outraged. If this was their psychological state, then all of the disciples were probably waiting for Jesus to become a political king. And they fervently wanted to become important people in high positions when Jesus became king. When we observe presidential elections, there seems to be people who line up behind the most promising candidates in expectation of being invited into the cabinet or being granted a high position in the government. These kind of things happen all the time in local elections, seeking promotions within a company. It is difficult to come across the virtue of serving others in a country or in a community where there are many people whose purpose is to go up the ladder and get a high position. It would be difficult to expect such a nation or a community to come together. It may even fall into existential danger. Now I'll read an excerpt from writing about how wrong thoughts and obsession in keeping the state of so-called Yangban during Joseon Dynasty influenced our nation. This is from a book titled The Starting Point of Market Liberalism by Professor Chung Ho-yeol, who is teaching at law school of Sungkyunkwan University after having graduated from the law department of Seoul National University. I will read this with the permission of the author, and please note that I will skip over some of the parts as I read. The common people at the turn of the century who were bound to wrong ideologies and power structure may have endured more severe hunger and cold and worse suffering than the natives of Congo River region did at the time Leopold II of Belgium established Free Congo in 1885. But have we overcome the consciousness and practices of the men of Joseon Dynasty at the end of the century, who believed that labor was solely for the lower class and were filled with old prejudices regarding wealth and prosperity? Why did the power structure of Joseon have to be like this? What is most curious is this. Why did Joseon have to be trampled over helplessly within such a short time, twice by Japan, twice from Yeojin, altogether four times? Exactly what was the nation of Joseon doing at this time? If it was a proper kingdom, then it is necessary to grow the military and train soldiers. Feeding soldiers, clothing them, arming them with weapons require a lot of resources, but Joseon was just too poor to manage this. If this is true, then Why was chosen so particularly poor among many countries in the Eastern Asia? The reason was that Joseon was a poor nation which cannot help but be poor. The finance of a nation depends on taxes. During the latter and the final stages of Joseon, half of the total population were in servant class. Servants were chattels and not people, and therefore they did not pay taxes. Land and coastal fishing areas all belonged to the royal family and the Yangban class, but they were, for all practical purposes, exempted from paying land taxes. Yangbans also did not have duty to serve in military or supply cloth for the military. There is no way to maintain 100,000 strong army by extorting tax from common people who only constituted 0.3 to 0.4% of the entire population. Whether in the East or West, it was a common practice to use captives who were captured in wars with other nations as slaves. But in case of Joseon, until the country went into a total ruin, its people turned fellow countrymen into servants and continued a system that massively increased the servant class. It is a well-known story that when Yangban saw missionaries play tennis at the end of the century, that they suggested to the missionaries that they let the servants sweat and run around and they should instead watch. Even if a wife had to earn money by making clothes for others for doing others' laundries, Yangban could not deign to earn his living by using his hands, in other words, engage in labor. My reading is here. It provokes pain that is hidden in our history. The poverty of the nation and the military vulnerability were all due to people craving after the high status of Yangban. If they did not try to hold on to that special status, had they given up their status and made sacrifices, Joseon may have been able to escape from extreme poverty and it may have become more prosperous. And our nation may have been able to grow into a developed nation much sooner. I will read today's text again. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If we look at the latter part of this verse, we can know that another purpose for which Jesus came to the world was to give away his life for atonement for many people. Sacrifice always accompanies genuine serving. It is not easy to serve another without incurring some personal cost. In the beginning, I talked about the organic connectedness of the four purposes of our church. Paying personal costs, sacrificing the self in order to serve others, are connected to the way of worship as a way of daily life in which one is to deny the self. If the self were to die and one were to deny the self, one can naturally afford to pay the cost and practice self-sacrifice. In order to serve others, you must be willing to pay the cost of loss of time, and you must accept material and physical sacrifices. A person who is able to give away what he or she has without any misgiving is able to serve another person, but a person who dislikes what he or she has, dislikes giving away what he or she has, cannot serve another well. It is possible to feel rewarded and happy when you sacrifice a self and serve others. But what is more important is to bring joy to the person who is being served. We know very well that the first thing that we should aim for in our life is bringing joy to God. And there are all kinds of ways to bring joy to God. And one of the ways is to bring joy to others and thereby making God joyful. This is from Romans chapter 15, 2. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. It tells us to please our neighbors. And it tells us that it is more important to please our neighbors than ourselves in the latter part of that verse when the scripture tells us not to please ourselves. And in the first part of Romans chapter 15, verse 3, it tells us, for even Christ did not please himself. Father God, Jesus, did not work to please himself, but to please people. For us too, the focus of serving should not be our righteousness, our sense of accomplishment, pleasing ourselves, but bringing happiness to others. Now, what can we do to please others? For each one of us, there are appropriate ways to serve others. You can serve another by making a particular person happy by doing something direct and immediate. Or you can serve by bringing happiness to an unspecified group of people in indirect ways for a sustained period of time. Recently, plastic trash became a social issue, as China put a complete stop of importing used plastic in April. A number of European nations, the U.S. and Japan, ran into problems. In our country, a crisis over plastic trash happened. Every year, it is said that more than 500 billion plastic bags are used all over the world each year. For our Korea, one person uses 420 plastic bags a year, and it far surpasses 70 bags per person used in Germany, 4 bags per person used in Finland, and that of other nations. As of 2016, Korea ranked first place in terms of consuming plastic goods. The weight of plastic used by a person during 1 year is 98.2 kilograms. It is said that it takes about 500 years for plastics to degrade. All of these plastic goods that are thrown out without being recycled ultimately come into our body through the food chain. What should Christians do? An appropriate policy from the government is needed, but what we can do is to make efforts to reduce the use of plastic as consumers. And more importantly, to separate recyclable plastic goods according to regulations. To wash and properly clean used vinyl and plastic goods before putting them into recycling bins so that they are not rejected as recyclable materials is one way to save the environment. And this is an indirect way to serve others, and it takes time, but it can be a way to please a lot of people. As for serving others in direct and immediate way, what can we do and who should be the recipients of such service? Now, we all have neighbors. There are people who live around us. There are people who live around us and people who live around our church and people who live in our districts. The red vest team of our church is made up of our members who are 70 years or older. In order to serve as bottom branches of our church, they pick up all kinds of trash discarded around our church, although it is a tough kind of volunteer work. Now, these members are carrying out service that pleases our neighbors. I also participate in their service, and when I see cigarette butts that are discarded on the streets week after week without fail, I can't help feeling frustrated. But what bothers me more is seeing trash that are carelessly thrown out on the street. As we all already know, trash must be discarded according to regulations. Although there are differences, the trash are supposed to be taken out in the evening to about midnight. Trash is to be placed in a designated spot in front of the house or a shop for collection. And standard trash bag must be used to discard trash. But when we pick up trash around the church, we see trash being taken out in broad daylight, and the trash that's discarded at a place which is not a designated spot. And there are times that I witness people throwing out trash in front of someone else's house. At minimum, wouldn't we need to throw out our trash in accordance with the rules in order to serve our neighbors and other people? And is it enough that we behave well around our house and our church? Tidying up the place where I sat after the service is serving others. To put back the Bible and other materials to where they belong after we use them in district studying, district Bible studying hours is serving others. It is possible to make others happy and serve them by doing something directly, but keeping basic rules so that we do not inconvenience others is also a way to serve others and make them happy. If my little acts have good influence on others so that we can make our living space a more pleasant place to live, I am somebody who makes people happy, and I am somebody who serves others. Even a serious social problem can be solved by my interest and little actions. If people become unhappy and come to distrust others and be angry at others because of some serious problems, shouldn't Christians at minimum not become the source of the problem? Take parking problem, for example. Unruly parking hurts others. Orderly parking in accordance with the rules is a way to serve others. It is necessary to park well at my house, at my work, but this is even more needed at our worship places and the surrounding areas. If a person, by parking at a wrong place, at places meant for pedestrians, at corners, at designated parking spaces for residents only, causes inconvenience and even irritation of others, that person is not worshiping well. This is the same for taking a seat at worship services. If you tend to walk to the front when you arrive late for service and interfere with others' views, or arrive early and take up seats at the back or at the edges of the seats without considering others who are coming later, we would please ask you to consider changing that. Yes, you are in worship, but would such actions make God happy? A person who does not please people will have difficulties in pleasing God. Let us all become the kind of people who please God by serving others and pleasing them. 100th Anniversary Memorial Church is a church which has been planted by God with all his heart and soul. The place where God has planted us with all his heart and his soul is not some geographically defined space. It is all places where each of us, a member of the body, that is the church, is the entire sphere of our lives. God loves 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and loves each of us who is a member of that body. Because God loves us, he sent Jesus Christ, his precious only Son, to this sinful world and made him serve men who are sinners, and even made him die by being nailed to the cross so that he will atone for their sins and gave us eternal life. This is what Jesus said when he came to this world. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Dear members, think of few politicians whom you most detest. Think of people at work whom you most dislike. Think of family members, relatives, and acquaintances whom you dislike the most. Jesus came to this world in order to serve that person whom you detest and dislike. How do you feel? Do you feel at peace? Or do you feel bothered? Serving others does not consist of abstractly serving people who do not have a relationship with me or people who are close to me. Shouldn't we be able to serve people who hate us, who hate us and whom we hate, in order for us to say that we genuinely serve others? A person who does not live to get to a higher place, who seek after wealth and glory, someone who serves everyone whom he or she meets in all areas of his or her life, is the very person who turns all areas of his or her life into places of serving and evangelism, a person who lives a life that accords with the very purpose of our church. Let us pray. Father God, when you created Adam, you regarded him and was pleased. You gave him abundant land and allowed him to live there. But by disobeying God, people became sinners. We thank you that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to solve the problem of sin for people who are living as slaves to sin, having fallen into sin. By remembering well that Jesus served people and became the atonement sacrifice on the cross, help us also to remember that our calling also is to serve people in the same way that it was a calling for our Lord. Whether it is someone we have a relationship with or not, whether it is someone we hate or who hates us, may we come to serve all whom we meet in different areas of our lives in the ways that pleases them. Help us to remember that not to hanker after status, wealth, and glory, but serving others to please them is the way to please you, and that such service is Christian's calling and the very purpose and calling of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.